short.
Amen.
Amen.
I am thankful that the Lord is faithful.
Yes.
Even when I am not.
Amen.
Now some folks don't worry about that because they're faithful. I know they are because they told me. And they wouldn't lie to me, you know.
Right.
Or to themselves. So, I am thankful that the Lord is faithful even when I am not.
Amen.
I am thankful when He is the government, He is not. I'm thankful when He's faithful in the church, He is not.
Right. Amen.
Yeah. You can just go down that list in everything you find in this world or any other world. The only one who remains faithful is Jesus.
Right.
He is the faithful one.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. I'm thankful for that. We have had an interesting week. The Lord has spoke consistent messages through many different passages all week long.
That's right.
All week long, it's been geared up pretty much for us home folk. Amen.
Right.
Hadn't been a big crowd come in from the outside. And it ain't always about the crowd on the outside.
Right.
In times like these, the crowd on the inside is the ones who need the most help.
Right.
They need it. Because they ain't going to get it from the crowd on the outside.
Right. Amen.
You ain't going to get it from your circumstances in life right now. Not going to get it from the good things this world has to offer. Right. Amen. All the pleasures and the riches that there is advertised, amen, out there.
Amen.
That'll fulfill you. So, amen, everything will be good in your life. You ain't going to get it there. But
right.
You can get it there at the church house.
That's right.
Until the
amen.
Church house gets revived, we ain't going to have what we need for the outside to be influenced
right.
by the church the way that it should be.
Amen.
And that's been emphasized over and over this week. And so, in light of all that, when we got that going on, we already know that we ain't going to be able to do it on our own.
Right.
We're not going to be able to do it because of our great desire, our great dedication, amen, or the great talents that we have to offer, or all the other things that we want to substitute. We have had it narrowed down very well this week by the Lord that it's going to be Him if it gets done.
Amen.
It's going to be Jesus.
Right.
He'll not share His glory with another.
Right, amen.
And there's been a lot of folk, amen, religious folk that has tried to share His glory, amen, when it wasn't their time. Take responsibility for the great changes in the areas around them. And now it has fallen flat on its face. Now it won't work no more. Now all the great psychological truths that we have gained out of the Bible, and it is full of them. Every principle in this Bible is true and will work. But apart from God, it won't make any difference in your life. We can have all the truth and all the promises and all the learning and even have scriptures memorized, but without the power of God to exercise that, it'll make no difference.
Amen.
Zero difference, because we all know rights don't make no difference. We all got the right to be the president of the United States, but ain't none of us got the power to be the president.
Right.
Without the power, the rights make no difference.
Come on.
And God has purchased forgiveness of sin for everyone. And He's purchased life and life more abundant for everyone.
Amen.
But without the power of that Amen. In your life, it'll never be fulfilled.
Amen.
That's a power that can only come from Him. Amen. And that's been enforced from Scripture after Scripture all week long. And sometimes that makes for some folks hard preaching, because they are used to something else during a revival time. But the first thing that is necessary for revival to come is the known need for revival. If we don't know we have a need for revival, we ain't going to be looking for revival. We might
Amen.
Go to a meeting, but we might not be looking for revival. And revival means for a life to come back that has left us.
Right.
To revive, to be made alive again. Now, I understand you only get born again one time, but I also understand we leaky vessels, amen, and things leak off, amen, and we lose the reality of that power in our lives. We lose the reality of that provision in our life. We lose the reality of the purity of that in our lives. But the most of all is we lose the reality of the person of Jesus Christ in our life.
Amen.
The person of Jesus Christ in our life. And that is the last thing that most folk look for, is the person of Jesus Christ in our life. We look for all the things and the things that we should do that we know are pleasing unto the Lord, and that's natural. We should want to please the Lord. And we know that without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. And we know that faith has substance. And we know that faith has evidence. And we know that faith cometh by hearing. And we know that hearing comes by the Word of God. And we know that preaching is what brings that on. We know all of these things. But when we're not looking for the person of Jesus Christ in our life, we miss it all. The person of Jesus. Truth is not a fact. Truth is a person. Jesus said He is the truth. And we want a concrete fact for truth. And we have a person as the truth. That's bigger than a concrete fact. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
That's something that will work in every part of our life. And concrete is set one way, and you can't do nothing with it after it's set. But a person working in you is a different deal. Amen.
Amen.
And we need to, when we say we need the power of God, it's impossible without the person of God in us and upon us. Amen. And even though it gets stirred within us sometimes, it's not often in our day that the person of God, the Holy Ghost, descends upon the congregation so that we're able, amen, to enjoy something that is indescribable, that helps us. And that's what we look for in a revival meeting. Is not just to be stirred within, and not just to have Jesus come alive within, but to have Jesus come upon, amen, so that others might be affected by that, that others might be edified by that, that others might see their need for Jesus and the goodness of God manifested in a way that they can understand. And it's going to have to be through people, or they're never going to understand it. That's why God has always worked through people.
Amen.
We forget that. He still works through people, and you're people.
Amen.
You are people.
Amen.
It ain't just the preacher, that's the people. Amen. It ain't just the singer, that's the people. It ain't just the musician. It ain't just the writer. It ain't just the teacher, amen. It ain't just the prayer warrior, amen. But it's through all of God's people that He manifests the person of the Lord Jesus Christ for someone else to see.
Amen.
Amen. And that's what we need. And we have been looking for that all week long. And we're going to pray diligently tonight that He might give us, amen, a little something extra, amen, to put in our tanks to go down the road so that we might not disappoint Him, but that rather we might please Him, amen, and bring honor and glory unto His name. Not just so that we'll feel good, but so that we can feel good about Him, amen, and know. And know that we have had a little part, amen, in showing His goodness to a lost and dying world. That we all got somebody in that lost and dying world that we care about. If we was Jesus, we'd care about all of them. But there ain't none of us Jesus. And people forget that. We are not Jesus. We have Jesus living in us, but we are not Jesus. Amen. But we all have somebody that we're worried about, that we know is lost and perishing. If God pulls their number today, they're going to wake up in a devil's hell and be in torments for the rest of their eternal lives. Amen. And we all worry about that. We all think about that. We all want that. That's what revival's about, so that the church can be excited and know that God is alive and working in their life. If He's working in my life, well then I know He can work in somebody else's life.
Amen.
Amen? Because we all judge somebody else as, oh yeah, He can work in their life, but what about mine? And so we live in a time of desperation. That's really the truth. We're living in a time of desperation. God's people are desperate. Church people are not. God's people are desperate for a move of God.
Yes.
They're desperate for God to do something in this present evil world that we dwell in. God's people are looking. Church people are not. And there's a difference between the two. And I shouldn't have to say that, because we all know that the church, amen, is made up of the saints of God, God's people. We all know that. But we have to make that land today, because everybody you talk to, amen, is a church person or a saved person or knows Jesus, but there is absolutely no evidence of it ever having been there or being there now, that they have any interest in the person of Jesus Christ. You ask anybody if they want to go to heaven or hell, if they give you an honest answer, they're going to tell you they want to go to heaven. And then somebody will come tell me that they're ready to go to hell, but that ain't the truth. The truth of the matter is they'd rather go to heaven, but they're not interested in the person of Jesus Christ. And there ain't no way there except through the person of Jesus Christ. And the person of Jesus Christ has to be precious unto us. And sometimes I have noticed that we can lose, amen, the value of the preciousness of the person of Jesus Christ unawares, not knowingly and not on purpose, and might not even realize it has happened unto us. Amen. It might have snuck up on us and we might not have realized, amen, that it ain't quite as precious to us as he used to be, amen. Just a common everyday thought. Everybody has that kind of a problem in their lives. We're leaky vessels. So in light of that tonight, we're going to look in the book of Matthew and chapter number 28. And it ain't going to be no long, great sermon, amen. It's not going to have a whole bunch of golden nuggets in it, amen, of things that ain't nobody seen nor nobody preached on. But my friend, we stand in need of what these folks needed, and our Lord was gracious to grant unto them what they needed at the time that this happened. Matthew in chapter number 28, and I will begin in verse number 16. Bible reads, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. It's always a good move to go where Jesus has appointed you to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Father, sure dependent upon you tonight. Sure thankful for what you've done all week long. Now, not just all week, but all of our lives. But this week in particular, Lord, unto the end, that you might have your will and your way in our hearts, and that the need of every heart here tonight might be met. And might be met in such a way, Lord, that would honor and glorify you as it ought. Amen. And we sure love you tonight, Lord. And again, are very thankful for what you've done. Thankful to be in your house with your word, in your presence, with your people. And we ask now, Lord, that you'd work like no other is able to work. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. So, that's a pretty simple set of scriptures right there, amen. First thing that they had to do is you find that in the time of desperation, when Jesus, amen, had been buried in the tomb, and they couldn't figure out where he was gone. And he got up on the third day, like he said. They were having great difficulty understanding what happened. They had lost the energy. They had lost the encouragement. They had lost the empowerment. They had lost their Jesus and the personal touch of Jesus in their life. And when they'd done that, amen, they couldn't hardly stand before each other, much less in the face of their enemies and the times that they were in. Can you imagine the naysayers that there was in that day? Well, y'all chose to follow this old boy here named Jesus, and he didn't do one thing. He just let himself, amen, go up there. He just let himself be crucified on that cross. He didn't call no angels down. They didn't anything come to rescue him. He just let them do with him as he would. He didn't even take up for himself. He didn't even hire a lawyer when they went to court. Amen. He didn't fight it one little bit. Amen. And he didn't care what happened to y'all. You think that didn't happen?
Right.
Happens today, doesn't it?
That's right.
How many times has somebody come by and told you, where's your God at now? He ain't cared what's happened to you.
Right.
He's deserted you. He's left you high and dry and lonely. Maybe that hasn't happened to you, but it will. Somebody will come by and tell you that.
Right.
When you're in a bind, and it looks like everything's against you, and it looks like Jesus ain't in your life, and it looks like, amen, quotation mark, somebody say, you lost your salvation. Oh, I shouldn't have said that, should I? Man, it froze right up immediately. Man, it froze up immediately. But yet, at the same time, you know why that is? Because Baptists will not admit they feel like that sometimes.
That's right.
Because they know the doctrinal truth, and the doctrinal truth is you can't lose what you never could get. Amen.
Right.
You can't lose amen. What you can't buy. Amen. You can't lose what you can't earn. Amen. They know that doctrinal truth, but that don't keep you from feeling like that.
Right.
It don't, you know, it don't, it's easy. Amen. It's easy, preacher, when you have a meeting and you've been going this long. God's blessed you socks off. Amen. Gave you a good group of people. Gave you a good building, good premises. Met all your needs. Amen. And that meeting has been growing in attendance and in popularity. But all of a sudden, amen, that don't happen. Amen. And you come in and you have a less than average attendance at your meeting. It's easy, amen, to get to thinking, well, God took his hand off of me. Well, God ain't going to bless this no more. Well, I finally done something wrong. Or I finally went too far. Fill in the blank. Church, it's easy for you to feel like that. You look around and some of your friends that you've been coming to church with, where are they? They're gone. They're not here. And it looks like, have I believed the wrong time? Have I counted on the wrong man? And all week long, God's told you, this is your man here. All week long. And you're to follow him. Just like every other church is to follow God's man. But sometimes it don't look right. But we all had it pointed out to us last night. It might be that there ain't nobody been holding his arms up. Because I can tell you, there ain't too many will support you as a pastor of a small church for sure.
Right.
But even in a big church, it's hard to find somebody to support you. Somebody that'll just come by and hold your arm up, believing that God will work through you and that God will meet your need and God will do something supernatural at the very right and perfect time when it don't look like nothing's going to happen.
Right.
This was a time when it didn't look like nothing was going to happen. But they obediently gathered themselves together. They assembled together where they were told to assemble together. And lo and behold, when they did, they saw him. Ha! Glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. When you just assemble where he says to, and when he says to, you just might see Jesus.
Right. Amen.
He just might show up right in the midst of the service. And it just might be just a very few. Amen. And it just might be
right.
The 11 that'll lead the others to where they ought to be. And the 11 being obedient might be the one
amen.
To get Jesus to show up. And Jesus will show up even when there's some doubters there.
Right.
We forget that, amen, then he'll still show up when there's some doubters there. How Jesus showed up, how can you imagine the scene? I bet you many of them, amen, was having to eat some words, amen. Well, I knew he wasn't going to get up out of that grave. That everlasting government, amen. They took him away. There ain't no way we can do nothing with him. We put all our faith in this stuff, and he ain't going to do it like that. We misunderstood, amen. We done this and we done that. They might not have blamed him for everything, but I guarantee you they had plenty of doubt going on because things wasn't working the way they thought it was going to work.
That's right.
And that's the way we are, church. We think we're doing something wrong, amen, because things don't work the way we think that they ought to work, amen. Because if we do things right, amen, then things ought to prosper, things ought to grow, amen. And there ought to be a lot of good things happening as far as the outward looks are. But there wasn't much going on here with the outward looks, amen. Even when they got there, even when they were obedient, Jesus stepped in there and they saw him. They did one thing that we forget to do, especially as Baptists, and we ain't really done it all week long. And they worshiped him.
Right.
Sometimes ain't nothing you can do but worship him.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And worshiping him can drive away the enemy over and over and over. In the New Testament, when they worshiped Jesus Christ, the enemy fled. The enemy was confused.
Amen.
The enemy was whooped. Amen. And everything that the enemy had became theirs because they simply worshiped him.
Amen.
Now, there's a lot more to worship than what we think. Amen. I tell you, preaching's great. Amen. Doctrine's great. Teaching's great. All of it's great. But there ain't nothing like worship. Our Lord created us to worship him.
Amen. Amen.
To worship him.
Amen.
And something about worship inspires God to move on our behalf. I don't understand it all, but I know what happens. And they worship him. And when they worship him, even when the doubters there, Jesus stepped up. Here's what he told the church, and it's still true today. He said, hey, I'm going to put it in my language, amen. Hey, what? What I want you to know is all power. All of it has been given to me. All of it. Whether it be in heaven or on earth, it's all been given to me. You worship in the right one. You follow the right one. You trust in the right one. There ain't another like me, amen. Because I got all power. It may not look like it to the world, but I got all power in heaven and in earth. And that has not changed. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still has all power. No matter where you're at, he's got power over everything, amen. There ain't an affliction you got that he ain't got power over, amen. There ain't an enemy you got that he ain't got power over. Amen.
Right.
There's not a problem you run into that he ain't got power over. Amen.
Amen.
There's not anything that's got power over him. Now we
amen.
If we believe that, we worship him.
Amen.
We worship him. Because he's got power
right.
over everything. Here's what we get to thinking. But if he had power over it, how'd that come out of him? How come I'm poor? How come people are against me? How come nobody likes me? How come I ain't popular? Fill in the blank. We had little thoughts coming in our mind. They had thoughts in their mind. The first thing he assured them of when they worshiped him is he assured them that he had power over everything in heaven and
amen.
In earth. And that is the very thing that we doubt. We doubt that he has power over our minds. We doubt that he has power over our hearts. We doubt that he has power over our flesh. Amen. We doubt that he has power over our enemy. Amen. We doubt that he has power over our lack of faithfulness. Amen. We doubt that he has power over our iniquity.
Right.
We doubt he has power over our sin. Amen. But he has power over everything. Amen.
Amen.
That's where some denominations whoops us at. Amen. Because they believe he's got power over everything. Now, they may not express it right, and they may be in a ditch, but at least they believe he's got power. Amen.
Right.
And we forgot, church, he's got power
amen.
Over
benefit. Amen. It'll glorify Him, and it's the best for us.
Right.
We have a hard time believing that, don't we? Because we think that something bad happens to us. We think He ain't got power. Oh, He got power.
Right.
Ain't nothing happens without His permission.
Amen. There you go.
Nothing happens.
That's right.
Without His permission. That don't mean He wants all the things to happen necessarily. But without His permission, you're going to quit breathing right now. Yeah.
Right.
Without His permission, your heart stopped right now. Without His permission, this world will be gone immediately.
Right.
Without His permission, nothing exists. Because all power has been given unto Him in heaven and in earth. In heaven and in earth. And we know more about the power of the devil than we know about the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we studied it. Well, you need to know your enemy. Well, if you know your victor, amen, and your conqueror, you'll know that your enemy ain't got a chance. Amen.
Right.
Your enemy don't stand a chance. That's why He said, if the old smutty face starts bothering you, just draw nigh and resist Him. Draw nigh to Him and He will flee from you.
Amen.
And when the last time that we believe He had power to run old smutty face out of our mind.
Yeah. Amen.
I'll tell you what it was. It's when we resisted Him and drew nigh to Jesus.
Right.
And said, hey, look at that. Where'd He go? Does He even exist? Where I can't even see Him. I can't feel Him. I can't see no effects of Him.
Right.
He's gone. He's gone, but they're gone. Because when you get close to Jesus, you find out He's done exactly what He said He'd do.
Amen.
He's washed you and cleansed you from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
Amen. He's not just forgiven you of your sin. He's cleansed you of your sin. He's took the accusing indictments against you and blotted them out and nailed them to His dear cross and took them entirely out of the way. And you know smutty face are sitting over there talking about why Jesus can't bless you. The doubters were there, and Jesus didn't stop. He kept right on blessing your socks off.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, if you're a doubter, you're in the right place where there's worship going on. You're in the right place because Jesus is going to get right in the midst of that worship. Jesus will be where His people worship Him. The psalmist said He inhabits the praise of His people. We forget that in our day. We forget that, how important it is to worship Him. None of these instructions come until after the worship. Make sure I read that right. Let's look. Make sure old Terrell ain't just telling you some story. Verse 17. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him. That's before He told them about the power.
Right.
That's before He told them where to go and what to do and how to do it. They worshipped Him. When they worshiped Him, they got a word. They got a strong word from Him. Even with some doubting. And Jesus came and spake unto them. I wonder maybe sometimes if we ain't getting a word from the Lord because we ain't worshiped Him. I wonder if worship can lead to a word. I wonder if Jesus will come in the midst of the worship and speak unto us. I wonder if He thought more of those 11 than He does us. I don't think He does, the best I can read the book. The best I can tell, He might think more of us than He did them. Amen. Because, I tell you, He's had a long time to change His mind, and He ain't changed His mind.
Right.
And He must think a whole lot of me, because I know me, and He knows me better, and He still comes and speaks a word to me every now and then.
Amen.
And He don't take a great big old word. It don't take a real long word. It don't take a complicated word. But it sure does take a word from Him. Amen.
Amen.
The person of the Lord Jesus Christ shows up in your worship. I
about him. When the church gets dead and dry and there ain't nothing going on, it might be because there ain't worship of him. Worship of him. There might be singing, but there might not be worship of him. There might be praise, but it might not be worship of him. Worship of him. Worship means putting him above everything. Amen. I mean, they say it like this. When I was a little boy, when we saw young men, amen, that had their eyes on young ladies, we'd say, look at that. That old boy, he worships the ground she walks on. Now, that's pretty practical, ain't it?
Right.
Well, that might be because we understand worship better than we think we do. Because worship means we literally will worship the ground that they walk on. We'll worship their presence. We'll worship their everything. Amen. They will be precious unto us. Amen. And we will bow down, not always with our knee, but our heart and our soul. We'll bow down to whom we worship. Amen. And we'll seek their presence and value their presence over everything else in the whole wide world. That's why when I tell our guys when they first try to get into church, they get all messed up because of everything they see and the things they get told. And some of the church birds are pecking on them and stuff, you know. I say, man, don't worry about none of that. Just go to church and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And He'll be faithful to take care of you. If you'll just walk in that door to worship Him in spirit and truth, He'll make a way when it don't look like there's no way. And He'll speak a word unto you. And He'll do for you what everybody else says that He can't do. Amen. And you'll get what He says that you can have. Because He's got the power to give you the fullness of God in your life.
Amen.
He has that power. And He wants to do that. He desires us to have the fullness of God in our life. In the Laodicean age, just like every other age.
Amen.
It just means not as many are going to get it. Just because we're in the Laodicean age doesn't mean we can't get it.
Amen.
It just means ain't as many going to get it. Because they're more infatuated with themselves than they are with the Lord. And when we worship Him like that, it brings in a power and a presence for Him to speak to us. And the first thing He reminded them of was His power. Why do I keep going over that? Because if we don't believe He has power, if we don't believe that, then we are not going to worship Him.
That's right, amen.
We are not going to worship Him. Does He have power over us? It's established that He has power in heaven. It's established He has power on earth. But does He have power in us? That's what we have to get established. And when those things happen, then we've got something going on.
Amen.
But when that power gets to working around like that, then you find that He gave some more instructions. He took the doubters and He took the believers and He gave them instructions, simple instructions. Go.
Yes.
Go. Where? Anywhere. All nations. Simple instructions. What do I do? Teach them all things. What? Whatever I said to you. You teach it all to them. What else? He said, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He is always with us.
Amen.
When you think He ain't there, He's still there.
That's right.
When you think He's gone, He ain't gone.
Amen.
When you think He's withdrew, He ain't withdrew. There's a lot of difference between being quiet and withdrawing.
Right.
Whole lot of difference between the two. Whole lot of difference in not blessing something than there is being gone. Amen. He's always with us, church. And how many times have you felt in these last days that He's took His hand off of you and that He's not with you no more and that He's not going to bless it no more and it's just going to be tough going and you're just going to have to bear down, amen, and try to endure unto the end? No, my friend, My friend, he is with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. He ain't never going to leave you, and he ain't never going to forsake you. He's always going to be faithful. He's always going to be true. He's always going to be your companion. Amen. But for him to be your person, you're going to have to acknowledge his presence.
Amen.
That is in your ballpark. Amen. He can manifest himself over and over and over, but you're going to have to acknowledge him. Amen. I can walk into your house, amen, and you do not have to acknowledge my presence even when I'm present. How do I know that? I've done that, amen. How do I know that? I've got kiddos, I've walked into their house and they have not acknowledged my presence. And the Lord Jesus Christ can walk into your house and you do not have to acknowledge his presence. Amen. Oh, there'll be a day when you have to, but he'll come by many times and you don't have to do nothing. You can just act like he ain't even there.
Right.
He's been in this house all week long. And yes, the messages have been unusual, but he's told you exactly where you're at and exactly
right.
What's going on and exactly what to do. And that's to cling to the Lord Jesus Christ with purpose of heart.
Amen.
Cleave unto him with your heart. Run to him. Look to him. Amen.
Yes.
Stay close to him. Call his name.
Amen. Amen.
Admit where you are and cry out to him. Say, Lord, help me. Amen.
Amen.
He helped the doubters. He helped
right.
Amen. He helped you. He'll show up even when you're doubting. We've doubted he's going to be in this meeting. But my friends, he's been in this meeting from start to finish. It ain't always been comfortable for the preachers neither. But it ain't no doubt that God has been in it. Because only God can get me to preach the kind of stuff I've had to preach all week long. Amen. Because I ain't going to choose that. I'm going to choose a swing from the chandelier message. Amen.
Right.
Or send everybody to hell. One of the two.
Amen.
I just have to tell the truth, amen. It's going to be one way or the other.
Right.
When you're radical, that's how it is, amen. And God will put his hand on you. Said, tell my people what I want to know. What I want to know is I know right where they're at. I know right where they need. I know right where they're at. I know right what they need. And if they'll come to me and worship me, I will give them what they need. Church,
amen.
He will give you what you need. But can you worship him?
Yeah, that's good.
No one can take the place for you and your worship.
That's right.
I can worship him for you, and it ain't going to help you, except
right.
You might get some of the overflow on me. But it ain't going to help you.
That's right.
Because the only way you'll ever worship him is if he's that valuable.
Amen.
If he's that precious unto you, if he really is your Lord,
yes,
then you'll worship him.
Amen.
Then you'll worship him. And when you worship him, then he'll have a word for you. And I believe he's give you a word tonight, church.
Oh, yeah.
He can meet your need, whatever that need is. I don't know your exact need, but I know what the basic need is. We need his personal presence.
Yes.
In our lives.
Amen.
Because everything in this world is coming at us so fast and so hard. Without his personal presence, we get sidetracked and we get messed up. And that's all of us. That's not just a few people. That's everyone. And right now tonight, I'll promise you that all the things that are coming in this world has sidetracked some folks from assembling together with the brethren to worship him. I promise you that because
amen.
The lack of personal presence in their lives. Because when you have his personal presence, then you can get your priority right. And then you can get in the right place
amen.
At the right time where he, amen, can be worshipped. And you can see him and he will speak unto you.
Yes.
Amen. He can speak words
amen.
Of encouragement. He can speak words of empowerment and he can speak words of instruction into your life and he will leave you with a word of encouragement. Even though he
amen.
Encourages to start, he encourages at the finish. So don't worry, Brother Joy. He's going to be with you unto the end of the world. All of them.
Amen.
He's going to be with you.
Amen.
Always, even.
Amen.
If somebody don't hold your arm up, he's still with you, brother. If you can't find nobody to hold your arm up, he is still with you. If you can't find nobody to come to church with you, he's still with you. If you can't find a church to go to, he is still with you and will allow you to worship him where you are. But he wants you to assemble with the brethren, but sometimes you can't. Because sometimes you can't find them with the Pinkerton agency. They're gone.
Yeah.
That's how it is. I come from a place like that. I know exactly how it is. But God has always made a way. And it's been simple. And the simple thing was to worship him. And then he'd speak to me and give me the power to carry out what he spoke to me to do.
Amen.
He'll do the same thing for you. The exact same thing. He did not offer them or tell them one thing to go do. He did not supply every bit of power that they needed.
Right. Amen.
Even to worship. For the doubters needed power to worship him.
Yes.
We need power to worship when we're doubting.
Right.
We need help. And guess what? He helps.
Amen.
He helps.
Yes.
He helps.
Amen.
You say, well, they doubted. Yeah, but they was in the right place. They had enough faith to be at the right place at the right time with the right people. But I bet you they'd have told you they didn't have no faith.
Yeah.
They had more than what they thought. Because they were right there and they got all the precious personal touch and power and word and promise of God themselves, even starting out as doubters. And everybody's getting it tonight. So what will we do? What will we do? So whoever you want to sing and come, we're going to pray. It's going to be a pretty simple invitation. I'm going to tell you tonight, you do whatever the Lord tells you to do. I'm telling you that if you want this thing to break over, you're going to have to worship him. Now, I don't know how you worship. Everybody's got their own way. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to worship him.
Amen.
You're going to have to worship him if you want it. Father, we love you tonight. I pray, God, that you'd have your will and your way. Lord, I pray you'd straighten out whatever I might have said wrong. Lord, that you put it in the heart of your people and bring forth.